greatest compliments you can ever receive is found in the life of Moses, where the Word of God says that Moses was a friend of God. Man, what an amazing compliment. I'm sure many of us would be proud to say we're a friend of Donald Trump. You know, I mean, the people, you think of a famous figure, you think, man, I'd love to be their friend. But think about the fact that here is a man, just like us, an average human being, who God says is my friend. What a great compliment. Amen. Moses was a great man. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation before where maybe the person in front of you in the line of leadership steps down and they were a great leader. But can you imagine the pressure Joshua is now under to take control of the reins of being the leader of the nation of Israel with that kind of great leader before him having moved on? But not only is Joshua going to be the leader, he's also who he's leading. We think Americans are stubborn, have their own mindset. Read about the nation of Israel. The whole Old Testament is full of these people who God gets them out of Egypt. He does the amazing thing with the plagues. He gets them out. And what do? The first thing they come into conflict with? Lord, you let us out here to die. That's exactly how they respond. And then God does another miracle, parts the Red Sea. I don't know about you, but I think that'd be pretty amazing to see. He parts the Red Sea. They walk on dry ground, see the nation, the Egyptian army destroyed. And then what do? Lord, you let us out into this wilderness to die. Those were the type of people Joshua was called to lead. Joshua, a thought, a phrase that by God's help, I want to be an encouragement with you all tonight as well. And the thought we're going to find is found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, 7, and 9. But we're going to begin reading in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, where the Bible says this. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And the thought by God's help I want to give to us tonight is simply this, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. The Lord mentions this phrase three times to Joshua. And friend, we're living in a day and age today where people are looking for somebody to be strong and of a good courage. We're living in a world today that's looking for somebody that doesn't just believe something, but stands upon the truth and is strong and of a good courage. Friend, I want to tell you today, our homes are looking for fathers to be strong and of a good courage. Our homes are looking for mothers to be strong and of a good courage. Young people, our high schools and our middle schools and our elementary schools are looking for somebody to be strong and of a good courage. Our communities are looking for a worker, a leader to be strong and of a good courage. Our country is crying out today for somebody to be strong and of a good courage. And just like God is encouraging Joshua and saying, go forth what you're about to do, Joshua, entering into the land of Canaan, be strong and of a good courage. Because all that they were about to face, everything that they were about to go through, Joshua had to be reminded that God told him, be strong and of a good courage. And friend, what we need today more than ever is people to be strong and of a good courage. Because I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of seeing people saying it's all over. We already know what the end of it is, but we still need to be strong and of a good courage. God is looking for people, his people, to be strong and of a good courage. We find number one, what does it mean to be strong? The word strong simply has this idea to fasten upon, to seize, to play the man. In October 16, 1555, two men in England, Oxford, England specifically, Latimer and Ridley, were Christians. And just to kind of give you an idea of what was going on at that time in England, they did not have freedom of religion there. They had a state church, and that's how they were to conduct their religious activities through the state church. Renouncing the state church's belief meant that you were a heresy and could lead you to being burned at the stake. And these two men were Christians that believed and stood upon the truth of God's word, and because they would not recant their belief in Christ, they were to be burned at the stake. And as they were getting ready to be burned at the stake, Latimer said this to Ridley. He said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as shall never be put out." And friend, if I could define to you tonight what it means to be strong, this is what I would define it as. Being a person that stands upon the truth of God's word with such conviction that you're willing to give your life for it. Being a person to say, no matter what happens, no matter what the government says, no matter what anybody in my family says, I'm going to be strong in the Lord. It means to seize God in his word. And friend, God is looking for people to seize his word and to play their part. Because friend, I got to tell you something, we all have a part to play in the work of God. God didn't just save you just to sit on a pew, to give your tithe, and that's it. He saved you to go forth and to make him known to a lost and dying world. And in order to do that, you and I have to be strong. We see, secondly, the definition of what it means to be of good courage. It means simply this: to establish, fortify, to be alert, increase, prevail. And friend, I want to tell you tonight, we serve a prevailing God. I'm not worried about what's going to happen in the future because I've read the end of the story and we're going to be victorious. Amen. We serve a victorious, prevailing God tonight. And what God has called us to do is not just sit here and hold the fort in the sense of not do anything. He's called us to keep going, to keep prevailing, to be strong. And I love how it says this, to fortify. What does that mean? To keep going deeper. Friend, we're living in a day and age full of all sorts of motions and movements, and nothing is sure anymore. But I got to tell you this, the word of God is sure. And if you want to build your life upon something, build it upon this book. And be of good courage, fortify, build upon it. Why? Because it will stand strong even in the mightiest of storms. And what God is trying to tell Joshua, like God is trying to speak to our hearts tonight, is be strong and of a good courage. Because we're living in a day and age where people are going to and fro. We're living in a day and age where Christianity can't even make up its mind half the time anymore because people are getting away from this book. And God is trying to simply remind us, be strong and of a good courage. Number one, why be strong and of a good courage? To live a life of victory. You come to verse 6, I'll reread it again. The Bible says this: "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Friend, I want to simply start off by saying this tonight. We serve a victorious Savior. We serve a God that's overcome sin, death, and hell. We serve a God today that's not buried in some tomb in Mecca. We serve a God today that is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we are victorious not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And as they were going into the land of Canaan, God was telling Joshua, be strong and of good courage, because I've already promised the victory. Friend, we already have the victory. It's in Jesus Christ. If anybody should be the most bold people upon this earth, it shouldn't be the LGBTQ plus. It shouldn't be the Muslims. It shouldn't be a Democrat, Republican. It should be us. Why? Because we have victory. We already have it. Friend, it doesn't matter what happens in the next election cycle. We have victory in Christ. And as they were entering into the land of Canaan with all the foes, all the forces they're about to face, God was trying to remind Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because I'm going to give you the victory. And friend, we can be strong and of good courage because we serve a victorious Savior tonight. I love what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Friend, we serve a God that fights for us. I don't have to worry about if the Lord is with me when we go to Libya and all the things we're going to battle up there, because God will fight for us, because we're going to stand on the truth of his word. I love in Psalm 108:13, "Through God we shall do valiantly." It doesn't say you may do okay. It doesn't say you may win or may not win. It says you and I will do valiantly. Why? Because for it is he that shall tread down our enemies. We serve a God that treads down the enemies. Why? Because the greatest, most powerful force on this earth is still at the footstool of Jesus Christ. We serve a victorious God tonight. And we can be strong and of a good courage and live a life of victory. Why? Because we serve a victorious Savior. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as we go and we battle and we see all the spiritual wrong things that are going on, friend, I want to remind you, we still serve a victorious Savior. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, we already have the victory. It's in Jesus. Back in the Civil War days, in that time period, they would often have what's called a guide on. And if you've been in the military, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a flag. You maybe have your company or your battalion or brigade flag on, guide on. And what it would be a flag with your symbol of your company, your unit. And in the midst of the battle, oftentimes if the soldier was going to be able to identify where his group was standing in the smoke and in the haze and all the chaos, what they would do is they would look up and find their flag. And if the flag was advancing, they knew to keep going. If they saw the flag going backwards, well, you run backwards, amen, because nobody else is with you. But friend, I want to tell you something tonight. When you and I are in the spiritual battle and all of the chaos is going on, I'm going to tell you something. You will never see the flag of Christ going backwards. Our God advances. Our God moves forward. Why? Because he's victorious. And although everything around us looks like he's going backwards, I got to tell you something. He's still advancing tonight. He's still going forward. And because he's victorious, because he's in charge, we can be strong and of a good courage. Secondly, why be strong and of a good courage in following the word of God? You find verse 7 through 9, the Bible says this, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Friend, we must be strong and of good courage in following the word of God. Because we're living in a day and age where it's becoming a mockery, it's becoming a joke to be a Christian. Maybe several decades ago, to be a Christian in the United States was something that people would respect, but not anymore. Today, they not only mock God, they do it openly. They mock the family. I don't know if a modern TV show today that doesn't mock a father figure. Every modern TV show makes the dad look like an idiot. Every TV show gives joy and gives great applause to the fact of teenagers living wicked lifestyles. Friend, we must be strong and of a good courage in following the word of God, because it's going to become an unpopular thing very soon. And if we are not convinced that this book is the truth, I'm afraid what we're going to do is live a life full of compromise and defeat. And as the nation of Israel is getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, God is trying to remind Joshua, be strong and of a good courage in following my word. Because there are things in this book that God calls us to do that in the human mind doesn't make sense. We just simply have to trust it and obey it. And following the word of God, number one, we must live a life of not compromising. You come to this passage of scripture in verse 7 again. It says that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Friend, I don't know about you, but the longer I've been saved, the easier it is to try to compromise the word of God in order what pleases me. The longer you're saved, the easier I think it is to say, you know what, God, I'll follow what you say 95%, but I want to follow this 5% for myself. Here God tells Joshua, Joshua, you need to follow me all the way. Yeah. Joshua, you can't compromise on certain areas. You have to follow exactly what I say in order to see the victory I desire for you to have in the land of Canaan. You come across their first battle, their first great obstacle is the wall of Jericho. And having been in the military, I can tell you that the strategy God gave them is not the strategy I would have taken. Amen? I'd have done everything I could to tear down them walls right as soon as I got there. But what does God tell them to do? You need to march around. You need to do all these things. And on the last day, march around 7 times, blow the trumpet, everything goes And what happens? The walls come down. Why? Because they followed the word of God. And friend, there are times when God's word tells us to do stuff, and it's easy to say, Lord, I'll follow you 90% of that, and let me do the rest of it. I got it all figured out. You continue on in the book of Joshua, you find that some of the kings of the land of Canaan, they start getting smart, and they begin to realize we're about to get slaughtered because their God's with them. And what do? They dress up as faraway travel men. They come to Joshua, and they come to the princes of the nation and says, Joshua, we want to make a deal with you. We'll be your servants. Just let us live. And the saddest part about that passage of Scripture is the fact that no time in that passage do you find God mentioned or them asking God for wisdom. They go out in their own volition, their own wisdom, and make a treaty, and come to find out their neighbors are the men that they thought were weary travelers. And for the rest of the time they're in Canaan, they have to deal with these people. Why? Because they decided not to follow God's word. They decided they knew better than God, and they made a treaty. And the Bible even says, which I found very interesting, is the people were upset with the princes because they made this deal. Friend, the price that we pay for compromise goes far beyond what you and I can ever think. And all that God wanted the nation of Israel to do, the conquering of those lands, the conquering of those people, never happened. Why? Because they didn't observe the Lord's word all the way to the end. And friend, if we're not careful, it's easy for us as we hear the preaching of God's word, as we read God's word weekly, daily, as we go through, it's easy to say, Lord, I've got this figured out on my own. I don't need you. But friend, watch out. Compromise begins. How many homes have been destroyed because of compromise? How many churches that were faithfully preaching the word of God are no longer existing because of compromise? Friend, we must observe God's word all the way. We like to talk about a gray area. I want to remind you, we serve a God that doesn't have a gray area. It's either sin and wickedness or it's holy and righteous. That's the God we serve tonight. I love how it says here in Deuteronomy 5:32, so you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. Proverbs 4:27 says this, do not turn the right nor to the left, but turn your foot from evil. You know, friend, when we compromise, we like to say, you know what, it's going to be okay. Can I say this? God calls it evil. God doesn't sugarcoat things, amen? He's simple. You're either living a life of righteousness or you're living a life of evil. And compromise is the steps to living the evil life. Oh, how many people you read in the Word of God that it began with one step of compromise and led down to a slippery slope that they had no control over? David lost his whole family in the kingdom because of compromise and sin. It cost him dearly. Friend, we need to determine to obey God's word all the way. We need to determine by God's help and by God's grace, I'm following this book because it's the truth. We see secondly in verse 8 where the Bible says this, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Friend, I ask you this, what do you speak about on a day-to-day basis? Because what you and I speak about is what we love. I can talk to any of you for 5 minutes, and you can talk to me for 5 minutes, and we can figure out what we both love and what we both hate within 5 minutes of conversation. Why? Because what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. Oh, how oftentimes do we love to talk about the news and the politics? How often do we love to talk about our favorite sports teams? How we love to talk about all these temporal things, but we spend little to no time talking about God and His Word. And if anybody should be the one that talks about God and His Word, it should be us. Why? Because of what He's done for us. I ask you, when is the last time you spoke to somebody about what God has been doing in your life? I ask you, when have you spoken to a spouse or a friend or a co-worker about what God has been teaching you in His Word? God tells Joshua, it shouldn't just be something you mention. It should not depart out of your mouth. What does that mean? It should be always coming out, always talking about God, always talking about what He's doing. And friend, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to be strong and of a good courage to do that today. You're going to have to be strong and of a good courage. Because you and I are living in a world today that mocks God and His Word. We're living in a day and age of a spirit of rebellion, not against all these temporal things, but ultimately against God. And what God is looking for is for somebody to speak up and to talk about the truth of God's word. Friend, you want to change the hearts and minds of your coworkers? Start talking about God and less about the politics of today. Stop talking about your sports teams and all these things. We need to get back to speaking about God and His Word. Because if anybody should have a love for speaking about God, it should be us. Yet how oftentimes do we have to make it a chore just to mutter up something to talk about what God's been doing in our lives? The Word of God says this, "Thou it should not depart out of our mouth." Goes on and says this, "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." I used to think, to be honest with you, we live in a day and age where meditation is gone, but I don't think so. Because even as busy as we are today, we all think about something daily. How often do we wake up in the morning, turn the news on, and that's all we think about throughout the workday? How often we turn on something and think about what we have seen? We'll meditate about all these things, won't we? But how little do we meditate in the Word of God? Oh, how often do we just open our Bible and say, you know what, I'm going to do my devotions to ease my Christian conscience. We shut it, and the rest of the day we don't think twice about what we've read and what God has been trying to teach us. Not only should we be speaking about the truth of God's Word, but we need to be thinking about it. Because I'm going to tell you today, in today's day and age, there's so many things to think about, but the thing that will get us through the day is God and His Word. And God tells Joshua, don't just talk about it, think about it. And friend, you're going to have to be strong and of good courage to do that. Because we live in a world today that is bartering for our time, trying to get all of our thoughts onto the troubles and problems of this world. But God is trying to get us back to thinking about Him and His Word. Psalm 1:2 says this, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night." Friend, what we delight in, we'll think about. You know why we call them devotions and not duty? Because it's supposed to be out of love. Yet how oftentimes is our devotions duty? We do it to ease our conscience. But the psalmist says, "My delight is in the law of the Lord. I love being in this book." And friend, can I be completely transparent with you tonight? I believe the reason why we struggle is because we don't fully grasp, we don't fully give ourselves wholly to the Word of God like we should. Oh, if we give ourselves wholly to God, it would be a delight for us as well to think about Him and His Word. I love how it says in Psalm 104:34, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." When was the thoughts of Christ sweet to us? Because to be honest, it's easy to live the Christian life with Christ as a gimme. How often do we go to our prayer closets with, "Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, answer that, answer this, answer that." Yet, in a normal relationship, we often, somebody we love, it's sweet. Why? Because we just love being in their presence. And friend, to be in the presence of God shouldn't just be a gimme time, it should be a sweet time. Oh, may the thoughts of Christ not just be what can I get out of them, but I love to be with the Lord, because it's sweet. I love what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, in thinking about the Word of God. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And friend, I haven't been saved super long, and I haven't been alive very long, but I've been around long enough to know this. You're not going to find that in the world today. I got news for you. All it's going to be is worse. The Bible says in the last days, scoffers and men of those types are going to come up. It's only going to get worse from here. You're not going to find any more good news in the news anymore. You're not going to find hope in your job. You're not going to find hope in these things. But I'm telling you, when you get into this book, that's where things change. Because whatsoever things are true, that's found in the Word of God. You want truth? You're not going to find it in a politician. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle. They're all liars because they're all there for their own agenda. The truth is found in God and His Word. Whatsoever things are honest, the Word of God is honest. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the Word of God that changes lives. Whatsoever things are just. Oh, friend, I'm sure we can mention many people that we think they need to be justly do what they have done. Friend, God doesn't turn His back on the evil. You want to talk about a just thing to think about the just God we serve tonight. I love how it says this, whatsoever things are pure. You're not going to find that in your television set anymore, but you'll find it in the Word of God. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Oh, we need a good report today, don't we? I know where it's at. found in this book. Whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Friend, what we need to get back to thinking upon is not the problems, not everything else around us. We need to get back to meditating upon the Word of God. Because no matter how bad it gets, we still serve a God who's in control. And this is the truth. You don't have to worry about everything else because we stand upon the truth of God and His Word. Therefore, we need to speak and meditate upon it. We see, lastly, we also need to obey it. It goes on in verse 8 and says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. What does that mean? Obey all of it. Don't question it, obey it. We live in a questioning generation. We live in a generation, why do we do this? Why do we do that? Friend, the thing that should never be questioned is this book, because it's truth. And you may say it's not truth. It don't matter what you or I think or say. It's because of what God has said. It's truth. And what God has called us to do is live a life of obedience to this book. But what I'm afraid is if you continue on through this verse, it says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What I'm afraid is, Christians, as many of us, if we're honest, so oftentimes we want the blessings of God without doing the obedience. I read this quote recently, or heard this quote, and it stuck with me. It says, expectation without effort is entitlement. Expectation without effort is entitlement. And before your mind goes off to your entitled generational people, I want to say this, friend. How often as Christians do we live an entitled life? We want the blessing and the prospering and the success, but we're not willing to be obedient to God and His Word. And friend, I got to tell you, if you and I decide to live a disobedient life, we will not see the prospering and success we desire to see, because we serve a righteous, holy God who cannot and will not tolerate sin. God never rewards sin. And if we're going to live a life where we see the prospering success, and by the way, oftentimes that's spiritual, not physical. If we're going to live that kind of life, we have to be obedient to the Word of God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And friend, what God is trying to tell Joshua is the same thing He's trying to tell us tonight. Be obedient to my Word. If you want to see the blessings and the success of all I desire for you, you're going to have to be obedient. Because expectation without effort is entitlement. Isaiah 1:19 says this, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I love that word, love that verse, but there's the key is found in that first word, if. If ye be willing and obedient. And I dare say there's not a person here tonight that does not want to eat the good of the land. But that comes out of if. If we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. And friend, to obey the Word of God requires us to be strong and of good courage. Because we're living in a day and age today where it's an unpopular thing. And if we don't determine now to do it, God help us when we really begin to go through persecution. Lastly, why be strong and of a good courage? Because God is always with us. You come down to verse 9, the Bible says this, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And friend, if there's anything I want to encourage you tonight, why be strong and of good courage? Because we serve a God tonight that's always with us. I don't have to worry about when we go up to Libby whether God's going to be with us or not, because He will be with us. You don't have to worry about whatever sickness you go through, whatever financial difficulties you go through, whatever job problems you go through. You don't have to worry about whether or not God will be with you. He is with us. He is always present. He is always there with us. Why can we be bold on Saturdays to go out door knocking to people we don't even know? Because we serve a God that's always with us. And I don't have to worry about whether or not the government turns its back on us. Why? Because our God's still with us. You don't have to worry about all the problems of this world because your God's still with you tonight. And why should we have to be the most bold people on this earth? Why should we be the people talking the loudest above everybody else? Because our God's with us. Friend, we need to be strong and of a good courage tonight because our God's still with us. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Christians about, we're just going to hang out till Jesus comes. No, now's the time to get on the offensive. Now is the time to give the gospel. Why? Because God is with us. And we need to quit living these defeated Christian lives because we have the answer. We have the hope, and it's in Jesus Christ. Amen. He's with us. And it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people do. Our God is still in control, and he's always with us. And friend, we should be here. We should be the most bold people in Hayden, Idaho, and the surrounding community because our God's still with us. Now is the time. Now is the time to quit faltering and living a life of backing off. Now is the time to be bold for him. Why were men of the Bible so bold? Because they knew their God was with them. Why did Daniel face the lion's den? Because God was with him. Why did David go face a Goliath? Because God was with him. Why did Paul give his life in Rome? Because God was with him. And we need people that are going to determine that we're going to be strong and of a good courage because God is with us tonight. Amen. It's high time we get on the offensive and quit playing defense because we serve a God that is prevailing. I love what it says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. Oh, I love that. Friend, God goes with us tonight. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you serve a God that's going with you. When you're on the workplace tomorrow and your coworkers start decision in the home father to follow God all the way and one of your child says, Dad, why are we doing this? God's going to go with you. When you face a diagnosis that goes wrong and you're afraid for your life, God will go with you. But I love how it also says this. Not only does he go with us, he will not fail thee. Friend, everybody else is going to fail you in this life, but God won't. God will never fail us. And I love that. Because everybody else will fail us, Jesus Christ won't. But I also love it says this. Not only will he not fail us, he won't forsake us. Friend, everybody else in this world will forsake you, but God won't. God's always faithful. But what God is seeking for tonight is men and women to be strong and of good courage. Friend, what we need in our homes, in our community, and in this country is Christians to be strong and of good courage. My question is, will that be you tonight? Are you going to determine by God's help and by God's grace, I want to be strong and of a good courage? I'm going to determine that I'll follow this book and stand upon the truths of this book no matter what the cost. Because I serve a God that will never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, friend, God's looking for it tonight. God's looking for a people. And by the way, this isn't just a moment conviction. This is a day-by-day thing. On Thursday, when you're tired and wanting to quit, be strong and of a good courage. God's looking for them. God's looking for people. My question is simply this. Will it be us? Do you realize that God could change Hayden, Idaho with this group right here? He could. He turned the world upside down with 12. And by the way, they were all knuckleheads. If God could use 12 men, ordinary men, he can use you and I. But we got to be strong and of good courage. Will that be us? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've done. Lord, help us. Help me. Oh, forgive me for how oftentimes I let my flesh or my pride or other things come in between being strong and of good courage. Help all of us tonight, Father, to determine that we're going to be strong and of good courage. Our homes need it. Our communities need it. Lord, there are people that are dying and going to hell in this community right now that they may not know it, but they're looking and seeking for you. And the only way they're going to find that hope is if we go out and tell them. That means we need to be strong and of good courage. Lord, I pray that we would determine by your help and by your grace, by your strength, that we'll follow you all the way. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.
Are we willing to be a people that are strong and of a good courage? God spoke to Joshua about being strong and of a good courage, and he speaks to us the same thing. Are we willing to just say that, Lord, I want to do whatever it is that you call me to do? Listen, we're looking at a time when America is going in a bad, bad place. And it's been going that way for quite some time, but it's really going at breakneck speed. And things are really turning dark. But remember what we've heard, and the Word of God says that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Have you God spoken to you tonight as a child of God about being strong and of a good courage? Maybe it's a time right now where you need to come and get before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Would you help me? I've been holding back. Maybe it's about becoming part of some ministry and you think, I just can't do that. I'm fearful. You remember Moses had those same excuses and the Lord said, well, who made man's mouth? Listen, God can take care of all of that. He's the one that created this whole universe and he created us. So if God's speaking to you tonight, don't hold back. I want to encourage you to come to this altar. I want to encourage you to get right before God. Kneel down at your chair. I know God has spoken to hearts. He's certainly spoken to my heart. And let's just respond to God as God would want us to respond to him tonight. Maybe he's calling some young men in here to preach. And you think, I don't want to preach. I don't want to. It would just be good for you to just submit and just surrender and say, Lord, I'm afraid, but I know you're calling me. I know you're directing me to do that, and I want to do it. You know, we get out on Saturday mornings, and we go talk to people and knock on doors. Maybe God's calling you to come out, and you think, oh, I can't do that. I cannot speak. You just need to come along and be a part of it. And down the road, maybe you'll speak at some point. But you know what? It would be good instead of us having would you make a Saturday if we have 15 or 20? Would you make a commitment to do that? I want you to make that commitment and say, I'm going to be there. I can't get around too well. I may only knock on 5 doors. That's 5 more doors than maybe you would have done. Would you be willing to step up? Our time is short. We have but a little time. I appreciate this brother's message tonight. Will we be strong and of a good courage? Will we be praying people? God can take one or two people or a small group of people like we are tonight, and he can make great differences, not because of us, but because of what he can do through submitted people. And he wants to do great things. So may we respond tonight. Father, we thank you for what we've heard. Lord, we know you've commanded us to be strong and of a good courage. And yet many times we go off running with our tail tucked between our hear it, this world fearful. Help us, Lord, to just stand forth. This world needs to hear it. This world needs to see those that are bold, those that'll stand for Christ. Lord, help us to be those kind of people. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight without Christ, I pray for them that they'll come to know Christ as their Savior. Will you work in those hearts? Will you work in every heart here tonight? And may we respond to the preaching of the Word of God this evening. Lord, we thank you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's take our hymn books and stand, but don't hide behind your hymn book. If God's spoken to you, would you do something?